Beautiful day, beautiful, beautiful opportunity our God has given us to be here. Even though it's rainy and dark outside, it's still a blessed day our Lord has given us. And what an honor and privilege it is as His people to gather together and worship Him. As we want to be thankful to our God for that and be thankful for the visitors among us this morning. We want you to know that it is an encouragement to us that you made that choice to be here. And I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And I pray that if you have any questions about anything, that you don't hesitate to ask. We would love to show you the hope that is in us. And like Brother, I was going to throw this out, like Brother Ron mentioned a moment ago in our announcements, Christy's gone, wedding or baby shower there in Missouri, 8.5 hours away. She wasn't feeling very well when she went, but she wasn't going to miss it. So I would ask that you pray for her to feel better, and then they're going to drive home tomorrow. So I got a whole another day of being by myself. And I got to tell you, whenever she's gone for a few days, I get lazy and I eat bad things. So you can pray for me also. But it'd be good to have her back in the house here, Lord willing, at the end of tomorrow. Now this morning, we're going to continue to talk about faith. Of course, our theme for the year is walking worthy. And you heard our scripture reading a moment ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to focus on the statement that we all probably know very well in verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith, just like in all those songs that we just sang together, that word faith was in there quite a bit in the titles of the songs. There is probably not a more important topic that we can study, examine, and understand. See, the problem is the world, and even those who claim Christ out there, religious neighbors, have placed a definition on that word faith that the Bible knows nothing about. And so it extends the confusion to many people, and even some within the Lord's church. And it confuses people who want to know Jesus and want to obey Jesus, but they just don't know what they don't know. And so there's a lot of confusion out there. So we're going to do a very basic, very easy sermon this morning on faith. What it is and by extension, what it is not. It is so important for us to understand what faith is, because the problem is, you know, again, a lot in the world have put a definition on it that's not in the Bible. And so, you know, we think that faith is maybe based on emotion or feeling. And maybe, you know, even if we've been in the church a while, it doesn't seem like we can, you know, put our finger on a definition. It's a little nebulous, a little hazy. And so we're going to take care of that this morning. I encourage you to really pay attention. It is one of the most important topics we could ever study. What is faith? I'm never going to walk worthy, our theme for the year. I'm never going to walk by the words of Jesus if I don't understand what faith is. How can I walk by faith and not by sight if I don't fully understand what faith is? So let's do that this morning and take a look at our Bibles. If I encourage you to open up your Bible. You know, and let me say this one more thing here before we move on. If we don't understand what faith is, we're going to continue to struggle. We're going to continue to struggle. You know, and we're going to continue to feel like we're not faithful enough, or you know, some who haven't obeyed the gospel, they're not going to obey the gospel because, they think that, you know, I don't ever get that warm and fuzzy feeling on the inside, because people think that's what faith is. You know, somehow, maybe even as many denominations teach, by some extension of the Holy Spirit, they get a warm and fuzzy feeling on the inside. right? And you think, well, I've never had that warm and fuzzy feeling or emotion. You know, maybe I can't be faithful. I've never been faithful. I don't understand what faith is. And I want to remove that worry from your mind this morning if you're struggling with that. Let's understand as we start here that faith is an active journey that transforms our lives and leads us closer and closer to God. Faith is belief in what has been revealed. So if you don't remember anything else from this lesson, understand that. Faith is belief of what has been revealed, separate and apart from any emotion or feeling. Now, when you have faith in what has been revealed and you respond to that faith, which has been revealed, I hope you get a warm and fuzzy feeling on the inside knowing that you fulfilled the will of God. But your faith is not, nor it cannot be based on feelings. Because what happens tomorrow? Now, it's easy to have faith here with all the brethren. We're singing beautiful songs and Lord's Supper and prayers, and we got the Word of God open. You know, it's easy to be faithful here and have a good feeling, and you should. But what about tomorrow? Right, when you got to go to work and you got to face ungodly people and there's bills you got to pay and maybe, you know, there's not enough money to pay the bills. Right? And you're out there living life and it's difficult and you got trauma from the past and family issues, marriage issues. What about then? The emotion's gone. But listen, you can still be faithful when you go by biblical faith. So let's look at three main points this morning about faith. Let's understand how it is that we can please God and walk worthy, walking by faith and not by sight. So number one, where does faith come from? Again, very simple lesson this morning. Very, very simple lesson. Faith, where does it come from, right? You can't ask a better question. Now, I want you to look at some examples. Let's begin with Peter in Matthew chapter 16. I want you to note this. Peter's faith here, we have a statement of his faith. Right in verse 16, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because remember, Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Well, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Remember this conversation right here? But I want you to note verse 17 here. We're told how he came by that faith. Look at Jesus' answer in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 16. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So from this right here, we learn that Peter's faith was the result of accepting that which was revealed to him. God revealed information to Peter, not in some miraculous way, right? But through the teaching, through the words of Jesus. You know, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, we learn that God has spoken to us through his Son. Same book, chapter 2 and verse 3, we're told that salvation was brought, first began to be spoken through the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. And so from these passages here, we learn that God revealed to Peter and others the fact that he is God's Son. Right? The Savior of the world and the only one, John 14, verse 6, that we gain access to the Father. And so Peter's faith was a result of his belief in the things that were revealed. In other words, through the teachings, through the words of Jesus Christ. John, the first chapter, look at Nathanael, the example we have of Nathanael, John chapter 1. And let's just read this event here, beginning at verse 43, and we're going to stop at verse 50. Just by way of example here that we see with Nathanael. So the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law And also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, or teacher, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus said and answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. So here we see Nathanael was brought to belief in Jesus as the Son of God, verse 50. Right? So on account of the knowledge which Jesus gave on this occasion, Nathanael was led to believe in him as being the Son of God. And we learn now that the works of Jesus reveal the truths of God. So the words of Jesus and the works of Jesus reveal the truth of God. And when men received this revelation here through the teaching and the works of Jesus, they had faith in him. Now, of course, we read throughout Scripture, many rejected that. They rejected the words and the works of Jesus. But here, you know, we learn that our faith, now, although we don't hear the physical words out of the physical mouth of Jesus when he walked this earth, or we didn't get to see with our physical eyes the miracles and the works that he did on this earth while he was on this earth, our faith is simply we believe in those things that have been revealed through him, revealed in the God-breathed scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And so therefore faith, the faith that we rightfully hold this very day right here in this auditorium as God's people in Fairview, Tennessee, is not from some miraculous or extra human element put into our minds in some mysterious manner. Right? Our faith is simply an acceptance or a belief of, we accept the things that have been revealed to us. We had a great conversation in our Bible class over in the annex this morning, because we're talking about faith in that class also. And I reminded them of one of the best illustrations that I know of, and I know I've talked about it here in a sermon before, but if you've missed that, let me tell you this real quick, better way to understand faith. In our Bible, we have two kinds of faith that we read about. We got faith in and faith that. Now, a good way to understand that is you're in a skyscraper on the 100th floor, and you're about to take the elevator down to the bottom. And so the elevator door opens, and now you have faith that the elevator is going to take you all the way down to the bottom safely. Right? Maybe you're like, this is a new building, well-maintained, and you see that little certificate in the back of the elevator, right? It was just checked recently. And so you have faith that that elevator will go down to the bottom floor safely. Faith in is when you actually step into the elevator. Right? You do something about that faith. Right? You go in. Right? And so the Bible talks about two different kinds of faith. And I think it's important for us to understand the difference. Number two this morning, jump over to John chapter 12 in your Bible. Listen, we know the passage very well, probably Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In John 12, verse 49, we learn that Jesus did not speak of himself, but was given a commandment by the Father as to what he should speak. You see that there in your Bible, verse 49, John 12. Jesus says, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who has sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And so when we hear the words of Christ, we've heard the words of the Father. Right? Jesus in his teaching, what is he doing? He's revealing the mind of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Right? In the same way, I don't know what you're thinking unless you communicate it to me. Right? You can write it down. You can speak it. Right? We can play charades or whatever. You got to do something because I can't read your mind. Right? In a similar way, we wouldn't know the mind of God unless he decided to reveal it. And that's exactly what he did. That's how we ended up with the Bible. He told Jesus what to say. Jesus was going to tell the apostles, we're going to read that in just a moment, a reminder, by means of the Holy Spirit, to write down the mind of God. Kind of a chain of authority, if you think about it in that way. And so when we hear the words of Christ, we've heard the words of the Father. Jesus is revealing the mind of the Father, right? The mind of God is revealed to us in the teachings of Christ through his apostles, Ephesians 2, 19 through 21. And when we accept this revelation, right, the Bible, we have faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, Jesus says in John 20, verse 31, he's saying, listen, these things are written down so that you can have faith that Jesus is Christ. The things which are written are the revelation of the mind and the will of God for us to then to research and evaluate and make an informed decision concerning who Jesus is. Right? We're not told to have a blind faith. Nothing in your Bible says have a blind faith. You know, if you did a Google search, Google Images or something like that, Google faith. And a lot of what you're going to see are images of someone with a blindfold on, maybe making a leap over a cliff to try to reach another cliff or something like that. That is not biblical faith. Right? We've talked about it again and again and again. Listen, it's trust and it's obedience coming together. Easiest definition. It's faith in and faith that. I believe it, so I'm going to take that step. I'm going to do something. You know, in Romans 1 and verse 5, it tells us the purpose of the gospel, and that purpose is to bring about an obedient faith. There's nothing about a blindfolded leap into the dark. Right? That's Satan talking. That's not the Bible. And the acceptance of these things then becomes our faith, and that's the beginning of walking by real faith. Right? And it doesn't begin, biblically speaking, in any other way. It's a rational decision to weigh the evidence. Right? To weigh this evidence that God has revealed to us. I believe that. Now I'm going to do something about it. I trust that evidence, so now I'm going to obey that evidence. That is a biblical faith, and that brings spiritual life to the believer. John 17. John chapter 17, if you would. So from these considerations here, we learn how faith comes to us. We learn the value and the necessity of faith, which comes by believing the things which are revealed. John 17 and verse 20. Jesus in his prayer here says, I do not pray for these alone, right? His disciples right there. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. I kind of mentioned this a moment ago. So in his prayer to the Father, Jesus is praying that people will believe in him on account of hearing the words being preached and taught and written down by the apostles. Right? That's where faith comes from. Right? It doesn't come from any emotion that you have. It doesn't come by feeling. It comes by you saying, I believe what this book says about Jesus. I believe what it says, that what I need to do, right? And then you do that. And then you can have confidence in your salvation, not based on emotions or feeling. So when people accept and believe in that which has been revealed, they have faith. And that faith brings salvation. You know, Peter makes a very interesting statement in Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. And I thought I had that on the screen. I apologize. Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. In other words, he's saying that when Christ is preached, right, when the resurrected Lord is preached, and of course in its truth and its purity, when you have good hearts, they're going to respond to that message of Christ, and they're going to obey. And that's where faith comes from. Right? Hearing and studying the Word of God, hearing the Word of God preached, and that's part of that evidence that you're evaluating and deciding if you're going to obey it or not. Now, you can reject it, right? But then there's going to come a day where you're going to be held accountable for that. There's consequences for rejecting it. Let's consider a couple examples here over in Hebrews chapter 11. And again, it's just great examples here. We could look at many here in this great chapter of faith. Maybe you know it well. Maybe you're not familiar with it. But this is called the great chapter of faith. Right? Where we have just a list of individuals on, they live by faith. And then kind of a picture to throw our minds back to the Old Testament and say, remember what they did over here? Well, that's an example living by faith. Abel. Right, we read here that by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain in verse 4. And since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Abel offered a sacrifice by faith. In other words, Abel offered a proper sacrifice because God had revealed to him instructions and commands on how to worship, on how to sacrifice. And so Abel's like, I want to live in harmony with those revealed words, and he did what he was supposed to do, and he was accepted by God. And so we have a powerful example with Abel. You know, Cain offered a sacrifice at the same time, but his sacrifice was rejected. And 1 John 3 and verse 12, we're reminded that Cain's sacrifice was an evil work. Why? Well, we can, I think if we think about it, you know, Cain or Abel offered what God commanded, right? An animal sacrifice. And Cain offered, you know, fruits and vegetables. And I'm sure when Cain brought that to God for sacrifice, it looked good in his eyes, and he probably thought, hey, if that looks good in my eyes, then God has to accept it. Right? That's carnal thinking. That's human wisdom. Right? And people approach worship like that today. Well, it sounds good to me, so therefore it better sound good to God. You know what? I can play a guitar pretty good, and God wouldn't deny my ability, so I'm going to use a guitar in my worship service. It looks good to me, it sounds good to me, so therefore it's got to sound good to God. But his sacrifice was rejected. He failed to walk in harmony with that which God had revealed. Cain walked in human wisdom and not God's wisdom. Another example, consider Noah. In chapter 11 and verse 7 of Hebrews, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now, if you went back to Genesis 6 and verse 22, it'll tell you, thus Noah did according to all of the commandments of God, so he did. And so Noah wanted to live in harmony with the instructions of God, the revealed instructions. And you know, God told him how to prepare the ark. And here's something, kind of a side note, I think, when we talk about faith. You know, the one thing about faith is you're doing what you're supposed to do, even when you don't feel like it. Do you think over that 100 whatever years it took Noah to build the ark that he probably woke up on a Monday morning and said, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe he was 60 years into building. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I would submit to you, he probably felt that way at times, but you know what? He still did it. Right? So faith cannot be based on emotions, because sometimes we just don't want to do it, but the faithful, they're going to do it anyways. You know, I just don't want to go to worship this morning. But you do it anyways. And it is amazing. By the time you're here and by the time you leave, you're like, I'm glad I did that. That was good for me. Noah, if he didn't follow the instructions of God and build that ark, he wouldn't be considered righteous. An example of faith. Or if, you know, he said, well, you know, I think my design on how to build the ark is better. I'm going to do it my way, right? He wouldn't have been considered being faithful. What about Abraham? One more example here, and we'll move on to our third and final point. Abraham in verse 17, same chapter. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Abraham offers up Isaac by faith. Again, we have an example of a man who received instructions from God, and he wanted to live into harmony, or live in harmony with those revealed words, and so he did it. Now, do you think on the way to the mountain where he was going to offer up Isaac, his only son he waited over 100 years for? Surely it had to cross his mind at least once, like, I don't want to do this. I love this son of mine. I waited over 100 years for this son of mine. But he did it anyways. You know the rest of the story. God stopped him. He was testing him. He knew his faith to God couldn't be based on emotion. And you actually read here in Hebrews chapter 11, he thought, well, God will just raise him from the dead. If Abraham had never acted in harmony with God's instructions, it could never be said of him that he offered Isaac by faith. Our third and final point here, let's shorten this just a little bit. The book of Ephesians. Listen, faith is accepting what has been revealed. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's accepting what has been revealed. You know, and I would say that Ephesians 1 verse 13 is probably one of the best passages, in my opinion, that teach us about what faith is. Right? Again, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is another one of those key passages. I hope that you as a child of God can understand, can remember. When you're trying to define faith, and you know, the book of Ephesians is that book of compliance. Lord, how can I be compliant to Christ in my life? And it's like you said, I'm glad you asked. Here's the book of Ephesians. That's what it's all about. And then woven throughout this beautiful book here, again and again, we learn where faith comes from. So here's where it comes from. Chapter 1, verse 13, this is what's been revealed. In him you also trusted, right? That's half of faith, if you will, in a simple definition. After what? He says, after you heard the word of truth. Lord, what is that? He tells you it's the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, there's a body of information that's been revealed, the mind of God, given to us, that we read, that we study, that's preached, that's taught, right? Giving evidence of who God is, of who Jesus is, so that you can evaluate it. And if you trust it, these words of truth, this gospel of salvation, that means you have believed. It's being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And just a couple other passages you're going to see on the screen from this book. And, you know, just wonderful reminders of the Word of God and what it does. Chapter 5, verse 17, right? Understand what the will of the Lord is, right? That is a continual calling in the Word of God. Verse 26, same chapter. That he might sanctify and cleanse her, that's the church in the context, with the washing of water by the Word. And one more, chapter 6 and verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that, and I just love the way that Paul says this, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Why? Well, back in chapter 1 of verse 13, that's how people are saved. When the gospel is taught in its purity, when it's taught in truth, and it comes in contact with good and honest hearts that are willing to evaluate the evidence on who Jesus is, they're going to respond. Again, Romans 1 and verse 15, the purpose of the gospel is to bring about an obedient faith. Faith is accepting what has been revealed. By way of conclusion here this morning, we've talked about what faith is, right? We've learned that in doing the things by faith, Peter and Nathaniel and Abel and Noah and Abraham, right? That they believed the instructions that were given to them, and believe in those things which were revealed from God, and they did something. They responded. That's what faith is. Now, were there emotions involved? Yeah, we're people, and there's always emotions and feelings involved. But the key thing is they did something. Faith in your Bible has never been just a passing thought in your mind. It's never been about just, saying some prayer to be saved. It's never been about just inviting Jesus into your heart. Faith in the Bible is an obedient faith. It's always about doing something, right? Whether it's obeying the gospel, whether it's walking the walk, right? Living the sanctified life. It's always about taking action concerning your belief system. An example here in James chapter 1 and verse 21. In all of this, we've learned that what God has revealed to us, it's our duty. Our duty to believe in Jesus as the Son of God and to respond. We want to walk by faith, not by sight. We must be willing to do the things revealed to us by the mind and the will of God. And receiving and doing the word is imperative. Be reminded what James tells us concerning our duty to God's word. In James 1, verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word. James, what is that? Well, he tells us it's that which is able to save your soul. And I think about this. So why with meekness? Why receive it with meekness? And I think the simple answer is there's many that do not want to receive the implanted word that will save their souls. Maybe like Cain, my way is better, looks good to me. I don't know. But don't forget that part of this statement here, to receive it with meekness. It takes a humble heart to take the revelation of God and respond to it. He continues in this passage saying, also be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. One more verse and the lesson is yours. One more passage. Acts chapter 16, let's look at it in real life and how it played out in the events here of the Philippian jailer and his household. Just another example here, and we're going to use this as we extend the Lord's invitation this morning. I'd like you to read this with me. Listen, walking by faith and not by sight is a pattern that's also observed in God's plan of salvation. Read it with me. Acts chapter 16, beginning of verse 30. Now, a question is asked in verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and all your household. Now, a lot of people just stop there. See, the Bible says all you got to do is believe and be saved. But you got to keep reading. Right, so that same hour, verse 33, Jesus was preached to them, and immediately he and all his household, his family, were baptized. And verse 34 is critical also. It says, having believed in God with all of his household. So the part represents the whole. Believing in God, yes, it includes a thought process. Yeah, I believe this evidence. You know, I believe what the Word of God is telling me that's been revealed. But in that example, they also did something. They were baptized. Right? They responded in faith, right, to reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in water. That's how we begin our journey with God. And then that journey continues, walking by faith. So this morning, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, right, just like these folks did in Acts, today's the day. Right, do what they did. Accept that. If you've evaluated the revealed instructions, the revealed word and will of God, and you're like, I believe that. I've weighed out the evidence. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Right, now you've got to do something about it. With a response of faith, you reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in water. Romans 6:3-5. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. Most important thing you'll ever do. If you're here this morning, you've done that, and maybe you haven't been walking by faith, right? The things of this world have distracted you, and you're ready to start over and be reconciled, let's help you with that. Right? We had some wonderful examples of that in the last couple weeks. Right? Great courage was exhibited. If that's what you need to do, let's take care of that. But if we help you in any way this morning, anything at all, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.